morning, New Hope Community Church family. Crystal and I are here together in our living room, excited to share a message with you today. Hopefully in your living room, maybe you're watching this live or the recording, but we're excited to share. And Crystal, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, this is fantastic. I'm excited. I'm like, this is great.
I think I live here.
Yeah. I happen to be in the neighborhood, so just dropped on by. But we're excited to continue our series, Made for More Than This. We looked at a couple characters so far. We looked at Esther, who was embracing the more that God had her for, even though there's a lot of reasons she could have settled for less than the more. But she had courage and believing and what needed to be happening in a difficult situation. We also looked at Joshua, who was dealing with fear things and pushing on beyond that. We looked at the two midwives in Egypt who were brave and courageous and feared God more than fearing Pharaoh. Last week we looked at, for a couple minutes, we looked at Achan, who settled actually for less than the more, because he was more excited about treasure that he buried in the ground and the earth than he was about following God's more, even though it looked a little bit different. And so this morning we'll be looking at Ruth, actually not Ruth, we'll be looking at Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And this is someone who is struggling with some significant loss, and really has what we were looking at as like a wounded heart, place of hurt, place of pain, and is struggling. And so we entitled today's message, Made for More Than a Wounded Heart, because oftentimes we can want to embrace the more, and God, I want to take that new land, that new territory, that new kingdom for you, but there's a place of hurt or brokenness in our heart, and oftentimes the more can start with something that God wants to do inside of us before we actually do something for him. Is that right?
It's so true, because out of our heart, it affects how we do everything. You know, the way we see ourselves, the way we see God, the way we see people, the way we speak, the way we think, the way we interpret situations, it really does come from our heart condition.
Yeah.
So if that's not healthy, it's very challenging to be used effectively by God. So it's neat to get that right and then move forward into the more.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a scripture verse that says, above all else, it's in Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for it's a wellspring of life. And so, Crystal and I, we've just been praying and talking about before this message that we're really believing in faith that God is actually going to bring healing today to wounded hearts.
Yes.
Whether you're watching this live or the recording, that the Holy Spirit's so powerful that he can work wherever you're watching this around the globe. And when we invite him, he is our healer. He's the healer in the Bible. He's the healer today. And God, would you bring healing to places that sometimes nobody else even knows about?
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't even know about.
A lot of times I'll be feeling off, and I come to God and he's like, this is the issue. And I'm like, I thought it was her or him. God's like, no, it's right here. So.
Yeah, it's cool. So true. So we're going to look at all this together, but first we want to look at Ruth chapter 1. So we'll have the text up on the screen. You can follow along if you like to. But we're looking at Naomi. This is Ruth's mother-in-law. Typically, most people focus on Ruth in the book of Ruth, which makes sense. But we want to look at Naomi and just see a little bit of what she was going through, and actually some really, really difficult and hard circumstances that impacted her heart. So, Crystal, you mind sharing that with us today?
Sure. So this is Ruth chapter 1, and I'm starting at verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughter-in-laws prepared to return home from there. With her two daughter-in-laws, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dad and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
Thanks, Crystal. Let's just take a moment to pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, thank you for Ruth and Naomi and their family, God. And God, I just pray that you would speak through your word to us today, God. Guide us and lead us. God, will you be glorified through this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Just a couple observations from Ruth chapter 1. If you haven't read Ruth in a while, check out. It's only 4 chapters long. It's a fantastic book. And so maybe you want to read that later this afternoon or maybe during this week. Take a chapter a day. We'll get you started. But a couple observations specifically on Naomi. Now, as Crystal, you just read, Naomi is going through a really hard time. There's a famine in the land. And then so having to move from hometown and go to another location. Yeah. Just to be able to find food, that's just hard enough, right? Yeah, like you're living everything, you're leaving everything that you know that's familiar, and your land, the people you know, your friend, and then going somewhere, that's hard. So you already got a loss of a move going on here. So we're going to see things that are stacking up that are really going to weigh heavy on Naomi's heart. So that starts, and that's difficult, but compared to her next several losses, that's actually quite, I would think, less. Yeah. So then Naomi leaves, and we see that when she gets to the new place, as she moves, her husband, Elimelech, dies. It doesn't explain what happened, but he dies. And so now she's there with her two sons, and they end up getting married. And it says 10 years have passed, so it's been a little while. And then both her sons have died. So she is a widow, and potentially some of those who are listening now, watching, or the recording, you also know what it is like to experience loss of a spouse. So you know that grief, whether it's been a long time ago or recently, you know that kind of pain and just the grieving that it brings to the heart. But then also, she lost both her sons, which you could get into like the whole time about having the culture, like having the income and the provision and stuff, and having the sons, like there's all that. But just losing a child, regardless, is tragic, whether it's a miscarriage, whether it's an accident, whether it was they were older. But a parent burying their child at any time is nothing that any parent would ever hope for. And so both of her sons, after her husband had died, just imagine the pain she must be in.
I can't imagine.
Right? Being a widow and now having
And in that time, too, that's very dangerous for a woman.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The covering of her husband or her sons, it's actually a pretty dangerous situation for her as well.
Yeah.
Beyond just the emotional heartache of it.
Yeah, so yeah, you get the grief, and then you get just the protection issues or provision issues. And so you get to see this all stacking up on Naomi. Because if you do a quick read at first, you're like, Naomi, why are you, over dramatic on like, but no, she's hurting really, really bad. She's lost, I would say, from the reading the text, the most significant relationships she could have, human wise, her husband and her sons. And then even encouraging her daughter-in-laws to not come back. And one of them goes back home, but the other one, Ruth, well, as we saw, is like, I'm going to go with you. Your God will be my God. I'm coming back with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to see Ruth coming in, and the story about Ruth is fantastic. But you'll see Naomi, when she comes back into her hometown, she hasn't been there for a while, says the village or the town is all stirred, and the women come out, and they're like, is that you, Naomi? Like, is this really, it's been a while, right?
Yeah.
Naomi is so, I don't know if it was all the ladies in the town or just some of the ladies. I'm not sure how big this town was. But what Naomi tells them is, don't call me Naomi, which that name means like pleasant. Don't call me Naomi anymore, because I've gone out, but I've come back with like nothing. Instead, call me Mara, which that word means bitter. So literally she's telling like some of the ladies, maybe not all the ladies of the town where she once was, like, call me bitter. I've lost like everything, and the Lord's dealt heavily on me. And her perspective, just having a wounded heart, it's just is so great that she's actually changing her name. Now, I will note, in a quick read of Ruth, you won't see anyone else calling her Mara, which is interesting.
It is.
She's calling herself Mara. She's saying, I'm calling myself bitter. But all the other interactions that we see from the recorded text in Ruth is everyone refers to as Naomi, pleasant. But I would say it's pretty clear that Naomi's hurting, rightly so, and she really does have a wounded heart.
Yeah.
So some of the things we're going to look at today, some practical things, are what can you do with a wounded heart? Because all of us can, at different times, maybe it's circumstantial, just things happen in life that we weren't planning. Maybe it's a loss of a spouse or a family member or a loved one, you're just feeling that. Potentially you made some really poor choices, and because of repercussion, you just feel that pain. Maybe some other people have hurt you, and it's like, I did nothing wrong, but some other people have hurt me. We live in a broken world. We're all sinners, and ouch, I have some wounds going on. We want to look at some practical steps for moving from a wounded heart to a whole heart. And because of Christ, it is possible. So excited to look at that a little bit more. So Chris, you want to share with us some practical steps of moving from a wounded heart to a whole heart?
Yeah. I think for me personally, it's kind of difficult to really know the condition of our heart. For me, and maybe it's different for you, but usually I can see the condition of my heart by the way I'm acting. So it kind of seeps out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So
right.
Sometimes, like we were saying before, I don't even actually know that there's something even wrong, but I can tell that I'm angry, or I can see, ooh, wow, I'm being very judgmental towards myself or towards others, and usually when, say we're talking about something, it could be anything, not even related to what's going on in my heart. And I'm like, well, Jim knows. He's just like,
no.
Okay. He just kind of sits and just listens. But later on, out of the heat of the moment, usually I go to God and I say, I feel so angry. What's happening in me? And after time, he'll usually bring me to the root of the condition of my heart. You're hurt. This happened or that happened. We need to process through this together. You need to forgive. You need to grow in this, whatever. You need to repent. So I guess what I would say the first step is in kind of assessing the condition of your heart, kind of check where your attitude is. So are you feeling anger, jealousy, insecurity? Maybe to everyone else, you're really puffed up and you're, this awesome person, but when you get home, you feel like you're an inch tall and you're kind of compensating. Or do you have, big bouts of pride? Or are you feeling jealous, judgmental, defensive, maybe totally apathetic or numb? Do you have feelings of hatred? Intense loneliness, all of those things can mean that there's something going on deep inside. And hurt in the heart can manifest in so many different ways. Mm. For me, it's usually anger. For Naomi, it was bitterness. Mm. So it's different for everyone. So just assess if there's anything going on that's not, and this is Philippians 4:8, that's not true, noble, right, pure, lovely, praiseworthy, I would really look into that and bring that to God.
That's good.
And so, and a lot of times in the past, when I would notice there's something off with me, I don't quite know what it is, I would kind of take the Adam and Eve route and I would just hide from God because I was ashamed. I know how I'm acting is not quite right, but I'm afraid to bring this emotion to God. I'd rather just hide or maybe close myself off to Him. And so I would encourage you, He's not afraid of our questions. He's not afraid of our hurt, our pain. He's not afraid of our anger, however intense it is. He's not afraid of intense emotion. In fact, in the Psalms, you see David all the time asking him questions. Why did you let this happen? Why did, you know, what's going on here? You know, how long is this going to go on? And I've learned as I've grown that God is a really good dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's a loving, loving, patient, safe dad, and He's also a really good teacher. And so He's not afraid of you coming and saying, I just don't understand, God, you know, this person did this to me and I'm so hurt, or or why did I lose my kids, God, why did you have to take away everything, you know, thinking about Naomi. He's not afraid of those questions. It's okay to come to Him. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be scared. He's not afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we come to Him with this, these emotions, I really feel like as I was praying, God showed me, we need to ask ourselves, do we really want to be healed?
Mm.
Do we really want to move forward with this wounded heart situation? And it kind of reminded me in the Gospels when Jesus, you know, before He would heal someone, sometimes He would ask, do you want to be healed?
Right.
And I think
interesting question,
it's
right?
Very interesting.
Of course you do, right?
Sure. In my flesh, I'm like, oh, duh. But I think sometimes the way we act, and sometimes we think we want to be healed, but we don't really want to be healed. It's like, are you really ready to take the steps that need to happen to go forward in this healing process? Are you really ready to obey God or to surrender or to do whatever He's going to ask you to do that's going to bring the freedom? And there are many times in my own life when I can honestly say, you know what? No, I want to stay mad. I don't want to forgive.
Mm.
I don't want to give this up.
Yeah.
I don't want to put you first in this. And so I think it's really neat to ask yourself, do I really want to be healed? Is my heart really open to you, God? Because if it's not, how do we move forward from that?
Right.
It kind of reminds me when I was working as a nurse back in Rochester, and we would get these patients and they would come in, you know, and they, you know, maybe they're diabetic and their sugars would be like in 600s.
Wow.
And yeah. And
what's a normal level for it?
Not that.
That's like, okay.
That's very, very high.
It just sounds incredibly high. Okay.
Like 80 to like 120 or
so. Okay. 600 sounds.
60 to 120.
Okay.
So they would come in, you know, really, really bad situations. Or, you know, I got a lot of patients that were withdrawing from substances and alcohol, and they would come in and, you know, or strokes or heart attacks. And we would go through all the discharge paperwork and you know, educate them, and this is what you need to do to be healthy. I know, I gotta eat better. I know, I'm gonna get away from the bar scene, or I know, I've gotta change my life, I gotta exercise. You know, these are all choices that they would need to make.
Yeah.
But then 2 or 3 weeks later, they're back again. Oh my gosh, their sugars are in the 700s this time, or, you know, oh wow, you know, there's so many things that this guy, you know, is withdrawing from right now. And so we'd go through the process again and again and again, and they would just come back and back.
So you see some of the same people over and over again.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
And I remember as I was discharging them, I would say to myself, not out loud, but I would say, do you really want to be healed? Like, do you really want to be well? I'm not seeing the, I'm not seeing that. And so, anyway, that's just a real life example. Ask yourself, is your heart really open to be healed? And lastly, I just want to say, if you're in a place where you're in pain because someone hurt you, maybe you went through something as a kid, maybe something happened recently, maybe there's been a reoccurring theme of hurt in different types of situations, I would encourage you to think about all those people that have hurt you or rejected you or have scarred you. And as hard as it is in the flesh, I encourage you to bless them. And I know in the flesh, it's like, what? No, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they, you know.
So you can't bless them. You got to hold on to the pain,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, when someone hurts me in my flesh, I'm like, Lord, bring down the fire, the rain.
Where's
you know,
the wrath?
My Pentecostal background, I'm like, pour coals, heaps of coals, Jesus. You know,
ouch.
I curse that.
Ouch.
You know, yeah. And then in the spirit, what is God saying? Bless them.
Right.
Bless those who've cursed you. Bless
those Jesus said.
Who've hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, forgive them. Love them. And, you know, as I was praying for those and for myself, too, when I'm wounded, that's what I keep hearing God saying. Bless those who have hurt you. Because you know what? The people that have hurt you before, they probably have their own wounds. They have
right.
their own hurt. And it might have been they hurt you out of their own pain. You know what I mean? Hurt people hurt people.
Overflow of the heart, right?
They're probably going through
overflowing
their own
from
pain.
Their heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They probably didn't know what else to do but to hurt. And so I encourage you to bless them, forgive them, surrender them. I'm not saying knock on their door and say, I want to be best friends with you. But I'm saying in your heart, bless them. And you will see the life come back into you when you are free from that bitterness, that hatred, that unforgiveness. Yeah. And if you're struggling, like if you're just like, I can't, I don't have it in me, you don't know what they did, I would encourage you, it's not going to be by your own love, by your own strength, by
That's
your
right.
own forgiveness. It's
yeah.
going to be through the Holy Spirit. We're talking about a supernatural thing. So
That's right.
if you get to a place where you're like, you know what, I can't. That's okay. And I would go to God and say, I can't do that on my own strength. I need it to be your forgiveness pouring out of me. I need it to be your love. I need it to be your grace because I don't have it in the flesh. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Another thing that helps me too is to think about my own life. There's so many times that I'm like, God, you know I can't forgive that. Or I cannot be loving. And then God reminds me, Crystal, remember how I forgave you? Remember how I loved you?
Yeah.
Even in the midst of your sin, how I my arms are always open with grace, you know? And it reminds me, God, if you can still love me and be faithful to me in the midst of all my mess, who am I to not do that to my brother or my sister?
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. That's gold. Thank you, Crystal. Sharing some practical steps and moving there. There's a lot to take in, I think a lot to reflect on, especially if you feel like the Lord's highlighting something in your heart right now, if you're watching this live or the recording or listening on Zoom, it can be kind of like, whew, need a moment to process. And we'll have a couple reflection questions I wanted to share and then some prayer time just to invite the Lord to what he does. Jesus is amazing. He is our healer and He still heals today, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Whether it's physical healing, emotional healing, mental, spiritual, wounded heart healing, there's probably a lot attached to that. But we'll look at a couple questions together. So here's a couple of reflection questions before we have some time just to pray and invite the Lord, even though we're in different locations right now, just to work in our hearts as the Holy Spirit ministers. First question is, question one is, do you have a wounded heart? So maybe you've listen so far and you're like, yeah, I think there's an area of pain, you're already there. Or maybe you're like, I don't know, or I don't think so. It's always good to ask the Lord, because as I think we mentioned earlier, sometimes we don't even know what's going on inside our heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we over-evaluate ourselves and everything's perfect, you know? Yeah, I love what the psalmist David said this in Psalm 139, 23 to 24. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart." It's like an outside audit on his own heart. "Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me." Maybe there's not. Maybe there is. "And lead me in the way everlasting." So just pausing. Mm-hmm. And we'll have time to do that in prayer. But do you have a wounded heart? Ask the Lord. That's the first question. The second question is, if you answered yes to the first question, do you want to be healed? You were mentioning, Crystal, that there's some examples in scripture and others that sometimes people, including us, sometimes don't really want to be healed. Mm-hmm. Meaning that the process of healing is one that we don't want to go on. We want the healing, but a different process, right? Yeah. It's like we want it in a certain way.
Fast food.
Yeah, the fast food process, you know, where maybe we can still hang on to the anger and the bitterness and be healed at the same time. But unfortunately, you choose one or the other. You don't choose both. You can't be healed and also with the bitter engine still going. A great scripture to remember, Psalms 34, 17 to 18. It says, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them." Isn't that awesome? The righteous are crying out. So they're not like passively sitting. They're crying out. And it's not like, I wonder if they're going to get God's attention. It says, the Lord hears them. The Lord hears you who's watching right now. Listening in, the Lord hears you. He knows your pain. Reach out to him. It says, God delivers them from all their troubles. Not some, but all. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Isn't that great that God doesn't push away us when we're brokenhearted? That's like, I'm hurting, I'm wounded, I'm a mess. I feel like I shouldn't be around any person. Good thing there's a quarantine because I don't want to be around anyone anyways, right? God does not push us away though. Even with COVID-19, God is not pushing you away. He's actually very near you. Mm. Invite him even closer to work in your heart. He's never, ever going to push him away. Even if you go and decide, if you're watching this, like, I rejected God, I'm running hard 180 the opposite way. Just know that God is pursuing and actively waiting for you. And you can turn around right now. Mm. Just run right into his arms.
Thank you.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Are you feeling crushed this morning in spirit? Mm-hmm. God wants to save you, and he does it time and time again. The third question is there someone in your life you need to forgive? Crystal was mentioning some practical steps of just receiving and giving forgiveness. A really encouraging and challenging word that Jesus said in Matthew 6:14-15. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Mm. Isn't that great? I'm just like, that's awesome. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And God wants to forgive us. But there's a warning, there's a caution, Jesus said, and take this caution seriously. It says, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Mm. Which, trying to figure that one out. It's like, okay, that seems really heavy because God forgives us at all time. But there's definitely something that an unconditional with some kind of conditional that God wants us to receive. We can miss out on God's best for us or is more because we're choosing to do less than what God has designed us for. And so if you're realizing, and remember, forgiving someone doesn't mean that what they did was right. Mm-hmm. It's letting go and giving it to God. Sometimes we think forgiveness is like somehow like, oh, if I forgive, that means that hurt, that wound or whatever, I'm making it right or something. No, you're saying it's wrong. Mm-hmm. We all sinned against Jesus and that was wrong. Mm-hmm. But Jesus still forgave us, you and me, us, and died on the cross. Not because he was just like, oh, it's no big deal. It was a big deal. It cost him his life in order for us to be able to be free from our sin. And so I just want to give that reminder as we offer forgiveness. Just look at the way Jesus forgave us. He forgave a world in rebellion against him. That was the reality, but he stepped into reality with love and with the power of forgiveness to bring hope and to bring healing. Might we be able to bring that same hope and healing to others as well as receive that today? So we're going to wrap up our message today just with a time of prayer. Wherever you are, recording, live, listening in, by yourself with a whole family, in your living room or somewhere else out on a run. We're just believing that wherever you are, because the word makes it clear, if you invite God to work in your heart, he can work on your heart anywhere. You might have a testimony at the end of this prayer time being like, God healed me while I was out for a walk enjoying the beautiful sun. God healed me while I was with all my family and I had some issues with them, and God just worked a healing word right there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're a high schooler right now. It's like, I got some pain going on with some family tension with COVID-19. God's like, I just want to bring some healing right now, wherever you are, whether you're watching this alone in your room right now or with your family members. We're believing in faith that God's going to do miracle after miracle, moving us from wounded hearts to whole hearts this morning. So we're just going to have a time to pray. We can't heal people. Jesus does. And so that's who we're going to. We're just two messengers letting others know that, hey, there's somebody that can heal and save, and his name is Jesus. And so we're going to go in prayer, invite Jesus to work into your life. Might he even do more than we're even asking or imagining as we invite God to work. Because when he shows up, you never know what's going to happen, but it's going to be awesome.
Yes.
So you want to lead us in some time of prayer, Crystal?
Yes.
And then I can just kind of wrap up that time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, I just feel in my spirit that there are so many people that their hearts are just so broken, God. They have endured so much pain and so much hurt, rejection, abandonment, complete isolation. And Lord, I hear you saying that you want to bring healing, God. That you see them, Lord. You know them inside and out. Not just the exterior. Not just the side that we all see as humans. You see the heart. You know their past. You know everything that's happened to them, everything that has shaped them to become who they are today. You see them right where they are right now. You see the bitterness, the pain, the resentment, the questions, the distrust, and you're right there next to them. You're not judging them. You're not angry at them. You're right there next to them, wanting to heal, wanting to reach in and touch that broken heart. Lord, you are abounding in compassion and in mercy. And Lord, I just pray for this person, this woman, this man, this child, this young adult, that they would open up their heart, God, that they would let the walls come down, that they would let the defenses come down, and instead of running away or hardening their heart, that they would come and surrender and trust you with their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've had a lot of people misuse them, mistreat them, and they don't trust people anymore. Maybe they've had a lot of painful situations and they don't know if they can trust you or they're safe with you. Lord, I pray that they would hear your words of love, of gentleness, of compassion for them. And they would open up their heart and let you touch them right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, that you would be healed. Mm-hmm. That your heart would be whole.
Jesus.
The pieces of your heart that have all these holes in them, all these cracks, I pray in the power of Jesus' name that you will be healed. By his stripes, we are whole. And I'm asking you, God, that you would touch them and that you would restore them and that you would redeem them, Lord. And the areas in their past that have been ripped and taken away, that you would restore and redeem, God. That you would bring life to a heart that feels dead, God. That you would breathe life into a heart that feels empty and dry. Streams of living water, I pray, will be flowing right now through this person's body, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Set them free, God. Set them free from the methods that they've used to heal their heart, God, whether it be addiction or people or relationships, toxic relationships, Lord. Set them free right now from the methods that they've used instead of you to heal their heart, God. And I pray that it would be you and only you that they would get all of their needs from, all of their everything from. And I thank you that you can fill them to overflowing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, how you are with us at all times. Lord, whether we're realizing that, we've hung on to anger and bitterness and we want to let that go. Or maybe we've just been crushed by circumstances, God, and we just feel overwhelmed. God, thank you that you are ever so close. God, you are a present help in a time of need. You are a strong tower. You are a refuge. You are a fortress. You are a rock upon which we could stand. And God, I just thank you that you are here and you are with us wherever we are watching or listening to this right now. We can invite Jesus to work into our lives. And I encourage you, if you haven't, just invite Christ to work into your lives. He knocks at the door of your heart, but he waits for you to open it. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? God, I just thank you, Lord, for this time that we can connect on church online, Lord. God, thank you that you are not bound to a building, but God, you work all over this globe. And God, thank you for those who are just watching this live and responding, those who are listening to the recording and watching the recording and just having a moment to encounter you. Lord, we don't want to assume we know all the specific needs of the heart, but you do. And God, you want to meet them in Christ, Lord. God, just thank you for your steadfast love. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. God, you are just so, so faithful. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for this time. May you be glorified in our heart, in our lives, today. And throughout this upcoming week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.